The four women that left the family were as young as 14 or 15 and as old as maybe 23 or 24. The four of them, they had no resources. They didn't own the house they lived in. They had to go live with their grandmother, their maternal grandmother. There was not room in the house for them. So these four women decided that they would strike off on their own and go and live as white women. They were beautiful Creole women, and they were all fair complexion enough to look, and they were quite white. They left the family, and they made a compact with the family never to reveal their existence to future generations. So that part was well done, because their descendants and my father's side of the family, none of us ever knew. Until my father died, and we found in his safe, a few years after he died, we found their birth certificates, and they were laminated. So somebody wanted us to know and keep them.
Welcome to Property Lines. I'm your host, Will Bradshaw, and today we're talking with sisters Alice Jones and Corinne Antoinette Smith. Alice and Corinne are the granddaughters of Corinne Antoinette Toro, great-aunt of our earlier guest, A.P. Toro Jr., but a great-aunt whom he never knew. They were strangers to each other because in a moment of economic crisis, when the elder Corinne was a young woman, she and three of her sisters, Louise, Carmen, and Virginia, decided to leave the Toro family and live the rest of their lives as white women. The other eight siblings stayed. While that choice was known to all 12 siblings, they decided to mostly keep it a secret from future generations. Over a century later, Alice bought her sister Corinne an Ancestry DNA subscription for Christmas, and the results raised questions for the sisters. Through their own genealogical search, the two of them managed to reconnect with their long-lost relatives. What follows is Alice and Corinne's story, and in many ways, their grandmother's story, Corinne Antoinette Toro's story of unequal opportunity in America.
My name is Alice Jones.
And mine is Corinne Antoinette Smith.
A.P. Toro Sr. was our great uncle. In 2016, for Christmas, the end of 2016, I gave my sister an Ancestry DNA kit to do her testing. And I went ahead and did it. And I received the results and wasn't still enough. We are both go-getters, and we move around a lot and work, and so I didn't settle down enough to even think about it. We got the results, and we're like, woo! We have a little black in us, and we don't know where it's coming from, and we always thought that T-O-U-R-O, Turo, thought we were Jamaican. And we were like, okay. So with work and everything, it kind of was neglected. It wasn't until 3 years later and COVID made us settle down. And we both started looking at our results and looking at how we could further that research. And then we came across the census, and it had my grandmother's name on it as Black with 10 other siblings. Mm-hmm. And we were perplexed.
I think our issue was, who are these people? Where are they? Why weren't they in our lives? So we assumed at that point that they all passed away prior to us growing up, and maybe that's why we didn't know them. But we always assumed our grandmother, and this is how she spelled it, was T-O-U-R-O. We always assumed until that census. And once we found the census and we knew the correct spelling, that's when our research truly started moving, which was 2020. One of our great uncles, not AP, but one of the other siblings, looked like our grandmother. The thing that we were really perplexed about was he was alive in 1982. I was a teenager at that point. we should have known them. And this is where our confusion was, like, why weren't these people in our lives?
A.P. Toro Jr. and Rachel Emanuel wrote a book about the life and work of A.P. Toro Sr. called A More Noble Cause that was published by LSU Press. That work required a good deal of genealogical research, and A.P. Jr. already had the birth certificates of the four sisters, which were removed from his father's safe in the early 1970s after his death. One day, their genealogist, Dr. Emily Loomis, asked Rachel and A.P. Jr. about finding the rest of his family.
Rachel and I were writing the book, A More Noble Cause, and I needed some discreet information to make sure I was right with what I was doing. She said to me, I can find your father's family if you want me to. I said, no, I will respect their right to privacy. I'm sure that if somehow or another, if they want to be a part of our family, they'll find us. And I'm glad that none of us, none of my sisters said, yes, let's find them, because I would not interrupt or interfere with the lives that they've made. They did that. That was their personal choice. My family respected, my parents respected their decision. The only time I ever had a glimmer of anything was at my father's funeral, when we were coming down the aisle with his casket in front of us, and I'm on one side of my mom and Thurgood Marshall's on the other side. And my mother said, just look at the lady in the big hat over there, back row. I'll tell you about her later. She told me that was one of my dad's sisters.
In January of 2021, I received a hint with our great-grandfather's obituary included in it, which was Lewis Thoreau. We didn't know anything, but we did know who our great-grandparents. We had never met them, but we knew their names, was Eugenie and Lewis Thoreau. When Lewis, his obituary came through, it said our grandmother and the three sisters that had left the family, it said their names. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I think this is my grandmother's brother, because it listed Alexander Thoreau, executor, you know, it was his son, and he was an attorney. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, that's easily researched. Attorneys are easily found. And I Googled Alexander Thoreau, and sure enough, it came up with A.P. Thoreau, and it showed his book that was written about him by A.P. Thoreau Jr., his son. It was A More Noble Cause, and it had A.P. Sr.'s picture on the front cover. And immediately, it resembled my dad, and I knew it was family. I knew it. Our cousin, my dad's brother's children, actually ordered the books for the whole family and emailed the link and everything. So we got the books, and in the book was my grandmother and the three siblings that had left. That confirmed it all.
Alice realized she had a connection to the Thoreau family through her New Orleans High School graduating class of 9.
I actually learned I was connected to Rhonda Thoreau through a classmate of mine in high school. I reached out to my classmate and she said, I'll get in touch with Rhonda and talk to her. That was February. And then we didn't get a call until May of 2021, and it was Rhonda on the other end, but she also had a male voice on the other end also, and he knew the story, which we did not know. He knew the story because the story in his lineage from his grandfather had been passed down to him, only him. AP Senior's lineage did not even know about it. It was hidden. They passed it down all the way through that lineage, but kept it from everybody else. It was 9:30 at night when I saw a Turo name pop up on my phone. I was overjoyed, overwhelmed. I mean, so many emotions. And when they explained the story of Lewis Jr. passing it down, and that his eldest son, Stafford, mm-hmm. was the one that actually was even at my grandmother's funeral and stayed back in the back so it wasn't to disrupt our lives. Our grandmother went to AP Senior's funeral and was there. And they said she was leaning on a fence outside the church, that she had sat in the back of the church. And then when they exited the church, she was leaning on the fence in tears. To know that behind the scenes, they were still seeing each other really actually put the icing on the cake for us, because we, after we found out all this information that the four sisters had left, we were just really saddened, very sad that our grandmother couldn't or didn't, for whatever reason she left, because that's something we don't know. Was it for a better life? Probably. Was it for love? Maybe, you know, but whatever it was, we can't speculate on that. But we're just so happy that we finally did.
Over a century after four sisters made this choice, the Turo family has been reunited. They held the first complete family reunion in 100 years in New Orleans in the summer of 2022.
In planning the family reunion, Corinne brought a huge box with a lot of stuff in it that had come out of her grandmother's house years ago when her grandmother died. She said, I haven't even looked through this thing in all these years. And they found pictures of my dad in that box. So, you know, they were keeping in touch with each other. So it's crazy. And all of that has come together. Remember now, there were four sisters and all of them married. And so there are lots of them, different names, different nationalities. And that's fine. That's what it should be. It should be that you go out and do what you want to do and marry who you want and live the life that you want for yourself without prejudice and racial discrimination.
When you're younger, you don't question what you're told is what you're told. You don't really worry too much about family until you age, because I remember through the years, the progression of what family meant to me.
The eight siblings that remained in the family included Victoria, a woman whom Corinne and Alice's father had a relationship with, though he didn't know their exact connection. And Corinne, the oldest, remembers Aunt Vicky as well.
My sister is 9 years younger than me. So I know I was around when Aunt Vicky was in the house. I know that. I know I went to see my grandmother. My grandmother and I, whenever we were in New Orleans, I was always with her. I enjoyed spending the weekends with her. I would sleep over. We would ride the streetcar all the time. I know we went to Dickey Chase's, but when you're young, once again, you don't question. I don't know when we went to visit people on the streetcar who they were. I don't know. We just assume, it's our speculation now, that she was in contact with her siblings.
Our father passed away when I was 37. But I do remember in my 30s asking him, where was grandma's family? Who were they? And he said, all I remember is calling somebody by the name of Aunt Vicky. He said, and I don't know if she was a friend or if she was family, but I did call her Aunt Vicky. So after we knew who the siblings were, we put two and two together that Aunt Vicky was our actual great aunt. AP Senior had the birth certificates or the birth registrations in his safe. Aunt Vicky, at some point in time, burned everything but that. She actually burned everything because I guess they did not want that information to get out.
We still don't know the reasons behind it. AP Jr. has since told us that he felt it was to protect them, because quite obviously when they were younger, he assumed they had left and that was it. There was no connection. But after putting the pieces together, he said he now knows they were in contact with each other.
We feel that those ladies left to live a better life, and we get it. But we can't say how she felt or how the family felt. We just look back and embrace what she did because of how she did it, and she's our grandmother.
This was not unique for Touros. This was a very common practice amongst miscegenated people, not only just in New Orleans, but in many parts of the world. And, you know, it happened all over this country. I don't make judgments about all of these things. The more I know, the more I can understand.
We were brought together for a reason. Everything happens in its own season.
We're a small family.
Yeah, very small family.
So and when we found him,
we have a family.
Over 100 people.
I know. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming when you're just us, but oh my goodness, it is fantastic.
We can't go very long without talking to them and
they call
everybody.
They call us constantly and they're like, we miss you so much.
Because to enjoy that reunion where we all came together and then everybody had to go home to their own, you know, states.
Yeah.
You know, we're across the country and it's rough. It's rough not being around them and being in different states and them being so far away that that was our connection. And then now we can't see them, you know, it's difficult.
Thank you for listening to Property Lines. I'm your host, Will Bradshaw. My guests today were Alice Jones and Corinne Antoinette Smith, who were telling the story of their grandmother and her sisters, who chose to leave their black family as young women and spend the rest of their lives as white. After more than a century of being lost to each other because of this secret, the family has now reunited, much to the delight of both sides. They held their first family reunion in over a century, last summer in New Orleans. This is the type of story we tell on Property Lines, where we explore American stories of land, who owns it, who works it, who has access to the wealth pulled from it, and how those stories shape the reality we find today. Property Lines was made possible by the support of Tulane School of Architecture's Sustainable Real Estate Development Program and by the Reimagine Fund. The Reimagine Fund educates U.S. taxpayers about how to buy real estate using money they were already going to pay in income taxes. Learn more at reimaginefund1.com. Production and sound editing are provided by George Engmeyer. Please join us next time on Property Lines as we continue to discuss real estate, an unequal opportunity in America.
The house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races, all religions, that's America to me.